This is session number 5 of the Gospel according to John. We're still in chapter 1. Last time we completed through verse 8. We're looking at the true light, Jesus Christ. And this session, we are going to, Lord willing, cover verses 9 through 13. Again, I'm going a little bit more in depth on this early section of the introduction, which is verses 1 through 18, because I want to just show how deep the Gospel of John is. However, as we continue in the sessions, we will not go this deep for the rest of the Gospel. That will be something that I will allow you to do personally in your own studies and in your own instruction, as the Holy Ghost gives you light. Amen. So in verse 9, he says, "That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world." That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. That's talking about Jesus Christ. See, John the Baptist was not that light. He was just sent to bear witness of that light. But that was the true light. Amen? That was the true light. Again, the light that he's talking about in the context is the life of the Word. And we talked about that life is eternal life. It's resurrection life. And that is within the Word himself. And that Word is the one that was in the beginning, that was from the beginning. That is the one that was both with God and was God. We'll see the Word made manifest in the flesh later, but right now, that's the true light. Now, Jesus Christ later, he will say, "I am the light of the world." Amen. He is that true light. But it's interesting. I says that was the true light, which would imply that there's also false lights. This is something that we have to beware of. And not only do we have to beware of, but we also have to be aware of, and we have to let others be aware to beware of this reality that there's lots of lights, but there's one true light, and there's many false lights. Paul warned the church of Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, and said it's no marvel because Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Satan appears as an angel of light. There's false light, but there's also true light. And that's why John talks about in his epistle about the importance of the ability to discern the spirits, to try the spirits, because there's many false prophets gone out into the world. And you have to be able to discern between the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Because there's many things out there that are shining, that appear to be revealing something great, to be drawing people to something of sustenance and substance. But there's one true light, and that's Jesus Christ. And I think it's important that we have the Word, and I'm talking about the Scriptures, because that is also light. David said, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path." And in Isaiah chapter 8, he told Isaiah to bind up the testimony and to seal the law among my disciples. And then he said, "To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them." So one of the ways we're going to see the true light is through the light of the word. We look to the law, that's the old covenant, and we look to the testimony, that's the new covenant. Again, I'm taking an application. I know that's not the primary historical application of Isaiah 8, but that's the prophetic application. You have the law, the old covenant. You have the testimony, that's the new covenant, the new testimony, the testimony of Christ himself and the testimony of his apostles. And if anybody speaks not according to this word, The things that are written in the scriptures cannot be broken. It's called the scripture of truth. We're talking about true light. That's what we want. He said it's because there's no light in them. Beware, there's false lights and many false lights. False religions, false forms of Christianity, false denominations. There's many, many, many false lights. But thank God, he revealed the true light. And the true light is the one that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Now, this is significant, and I think there's a couple different applications to this. First off, on an individual basis, it appears that God has lit the candle of every man that enters this world. Every single person that is born onto this earth, God lights his candle. You say, what are you talking about? Well, Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27 says, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. In Hebrews 12, verse 9, God is referred to as the Father of spirits. And in Acts 17, verse 28, Paul declares to the lost people at Athens that we are all the offspring of God. Man was made in the image of God. And that even those who are now in Adam, after Adam's sin, and after Adam's fall, and after death is passed into the world and corruption has entered the world, he still declares that we are all the offspring of God. And Solomon reveals in Ecclesiastes chapter number 3, verse 21, Solomon declares that who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward and the spirit of the beast that goeth downward to the earth? He says the spirit of man goes up. And he's talking about when somebody dies. Now, some people say, wait, so that means everybody goes back to heaven? All men go to heaven? No. Because man is not a spirit. Primarily, man is a soul. In the beginning, God took dust and he formed a body and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. That's the spirit. And man became a living soul. We are souls. We have a body and we have a spirit. The spirit is from God. Now, it's not the spirit of the Lord. It's not the spirit of God in the sense of that it's his Holy Spirit or that it's his eternal spirit. But God has evidently given man a spirit to live. It's called the spirit of man. And it's loaned by God. That it's actually God breathes into every human being that comes into this world the breath of life. He grants the breath of life. And in that sense, we are his offspring. He is our father. Now, he's not our father in a direct new covenant sense. We're not really the children of God, but we're his offspring. And that spirit of man is given from God. And that's why in Ecclesiastes 12, verse 7, Solomon says that when a man dies, the dust returns to the earth as it was. That's the body. And the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. See, God gives that spirit of man to man so he can live. And that's the candle of the Lord. Jesus Christ is the true light that lights every man that comes into the world. Everyone that comes into the world is lit by God, has a spirit given by God. And in a sense, is innocent and is pure just as Adam was innocent and was pure because he's lit of God. And that's why Paul himself declares in Romans chapter 7, verse 9, he says, for I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. What's Paul talking about? He's saying in his youth, he once was alive spiritually, just like Adam and Eve were alive spiritually before they sinned. But when the commandment came to Paul, Paul, just like Adam, and just like every one of us who are born in Adam, following Adam's footsteps and Eve's footsteps, that sin deceives us and we sin and we die spiritually the day we sin. Remember what God told Adam and Eve, the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. That's an absolute law of God. So that's why Jesus referred to men walking around as dead men. They weren't dead physically, and their souls weren't dead yet. It was their spirit that was dead to God. They had lost that connection. That candle had blown out, so to speak. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. And the true light lights every man that comes in the world. Every single person is lit of God when they come into the world. But every person at some point, the law comes to them, they transgress the law, and they die spiritually. And that's why we need a new birth. That's why we need a new spirit. That's why we need a new man. That's why we need a quickening. Then these are the things that Jesus Christ refers to, that Paul refers to, that Peter refers to. So that's one application of the true light lighting every man that cometh in the world. Another application of that is the promise of Christ offering the light of the gospel to the entire world. See, he's the true light, and he lights every man that comes into the world. Every man that's in the world, every man that enters the world, he's the true light, and he's gonna shine his light unto them. The light of Jesus Christ, the light of the gospel, will shine to every man that comes into the world. Paul declared in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 23, he declared that the hope of the gospel was preached to every creature which is under heaven. The hope of the gospel was preached to every creature which is under heaven. That's what Paul declared. Now, if you study history and you study traditions, they'll tell you that the gospel didn't reach the whole world until, I don't know, 3rd century or something like that. Or actually, they won't even say that. They say it still hasn't reached the whole world. It's trying to get to the whole world. But Paul said, in his day and age, the gospel was preached to every creature under heaven. Titus chapter 2 and verse number 11, Paul also declares that the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Remember, he is the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And that's exactly what Paul says. And so we have to believe that the true light shines to everyone that comes into the world. There's not one that the light doesn't shine to. Now, I know people say, what about the man in the middle of Africa? Well, I'm in Africa, and you'd be shocked at the knowledge of God and the knowledge of Jesus Christ they have here. In some ways, I think they have more knowledge of God and Jesus Christ than many average American I've met. So don't worry about the person in the middle of Africa. He's the true light that lights every man that comes in the world. The main thing that we have to worry about, well, not worry about, but that we have to focus on, we have to understand, is the responses to the light. The first response is verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. The first response to the light is the world. The world doesn't know him. The world doesn't know him. And in a general sense, that would be like the people, the Gentiles, it'd be like Pilate, you know. When he went to Pilate, Pilate's like, you know, who are you? Are you really the king of the Jews? And what is truth? And, you know, just didn't really get it, you know. The world doesn't know him. However, it's interesting that Jesus Christ defines the world as those who are unbelievers, those who don't know him. It's just interesting, those who don't know him, those who are unbelievers. And he literally says to the Pharisees in John chapter 8 and verse 19 through 23, these are the Jews, which appeared to be his own. But in John chapter 8, verse 19 through 23, then said they unto him, where is thy father? And Jesus answered, ye neither know me nor my father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my father also. He was in the world, and the world knew him not. In fact, Jesus Christ says, I'm from above, ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto thee, ye shall die in your sins if you believe not that I am he. And later he warns his apostles about how they will suffer persecution and tribulation and be hated of the world. And then he goes on to speak about the synagogues and then putting them out of the synagogues and killing them and thinking that they're doing God's service. And he says, these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. He was in the world knew him not. Remember, the light shines in darkness, the darkness can't comprehend it. The world can't know him. As long as they stay in the world, they cannot know him. It's impossible. But here's the interesting thing. The second response, verse 10 or verse 11, is he came unto his own and his own received him not. So here it's not that they didn't know him. It's evidently it appears they did know him, but they didn't receive him. Now again, in the general context, the world would be all the Gentiles and the people that don't know God, the ungodly, the heathen. His own would be the Jewish people, the nation of Israel. He came to his own, and his own received him not. But again, the way that Jesus defines the world is a little bit differently. He defines the world as the unbelievers. And what's interesting is, and again, I don't fully understand it, but he came to his own received him not. I'm just thinking about like his family. When he was here, his own, his family, he talks about his own country. His prophet's not with honor except in his own country. See, he came to his own people group, and they didn't receive him. They actually rejected him initially. And even Mary and the brothers who eventually became believers, but while he was in the world, while he was there, when he came to them, they didn't receive him yet. They didn't receive him. Just interesting to consider. So just remember the reality that when you walk as a Christian in the footsteps of Christ, expect the world to not know you and not to get any accolades from the world, and expect your own to not receive you, because the disciple's not above his master nor the servant above his Lord. However, praise the Lord, in verse 12, there's a third response. It says, but as many as received him, there are those who do receive him. Some do receive him, amen? And it's interesting that when you go to Revelation chapter 3, the church of the Laodiceans, this would be what's supposed to be his own people, that they didn't receive him. They rejected him. He's not even in the church. He's standing outside the church and he's knocking and saying, if any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come into him and sup with him. And praise the Lord, in the church of the Laodiceans, maybe the church as a whole would not receive Jesus, but as many as did receive him. Amen. You can receive him. You can receive him. And praise the Lord for that wonderful offer of being able to receive Jesus Christ, being able to receive the true light, being able to receive the life that is eternal life that's in the Word, and being able to receive the eternal Word himself, the Word of the Father. We can receive him. Our time is up, and so next time we'll pick it back up and we'll see just the wonderful benefits and blessings that are given to those who do receive him. Amen. Amen. This is session 5, Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 9 through 12a.